righty. Oh, say, Jimmy. Eddie, where did you get that riding habit?
Don't worry, it isn't a habit with me. They told me horseback riding was my appetite, and I lost my appetite for horseback riding.
You can't take it, eh? Well, take a chair. Sit down. Tell me all about it.
Sit down. No, no. I talk better when I'm standing. Oh, Jimmy. And I'm a cripple. Oh,
uh-huh. I see. It's your beginning.
Uh-huh. You see, it's the end.
Don't talk like that, Eddie. You must let a horse know that you're the master.
Yeah.
You must have rubbed him the wrong way.
I rubbed him the wrong way. How do you like that? And besides, it wasn't him.
Oh, Eddie, I see now. You were riding a mare, eh? Well, she might have been too high strung. She sent you.
Tender. Ooh, she was tender. I stood up in the syrup and got calms. I sat down and got calluses.
Eddie, you know, it's very plain that you must have taken a cobblestone road.
Yeah.
Why didn't you ride in a bridle path?
The bridle path? I thought that was only for married couples. I didn't know, Jimmy.
Now, you know better than that.
No.
Why, Eddie, you know, I'm sure the riding master must have given you a
broken. Yes, in 100 places, I can still feel every one of them, Jimmy.
I think I know your trouble. You rode careless. No spirit, no dash. You've got to put something into that saddle.
Jimmy, don't worry. I put everything I had into it.
Listen, Eddie. Horseman will tell you a horse is like a dog.
Yeah.
Man's best friend.
Yeah.
Faithful, friendly.
Yeah.
There are horses like a dog.
Maybe, Jimmy, but I'd hate like a devil to come home and have a horse jump into my lap.
And another thing, Eddie.
Yeah.
A female horse is at her best if she's well groomed.
Yes.
Tell me, was her name Courage, combed, and such?
Oh, yes, yes. She also had her eyebrows plucked, a permanent wave, and a manicure. Some horse.
No use, Eddie. No use, Eddie. I give up. I'm stuck. I can't guess. What was your name, trouble?
I don't know, Jimmy. I said get up, and she went. I said whoa, and she stopped. I said reverse, and she didn't know what I was talking about.
Eddie, it just occurred to me.
What?
I think I know what was wrong.
What?
You raced that horse. You can't do that.
Why not?
Well, you must start with a trot, then come to a canter, and wind up in a gallop.
Jimmy, we started with a canter, went into a gallop, and wound up in a ditch. Then she lay down, Jimmy, and went to sleep. I couldn't budge. I said tenderly, sweet and tenderly. I said, like I speak to Ida. I said, sweetheart, get up. Eddie wants to go home.
Now I've got it. You didn't have a horse. You had a mule. I know how a jackass acts.
Jimmy, if you don't know, who does?
Eddie, you had it coming, boy. That's the first one this year.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose nothing could move her, eh?
No, no.
What?
Well, I left the line there, Jimmy. I took a taxi cab to the studio, and here I am. Am I happy that I'm rid of that nag?
You know, a horse has been known to follow its master to the end of the earth.
No.
Sure.
Wait a minute. What's that noise? What's that noise, Jimmy?
Why?
What's that noise?
Why, Eddie. Eddie, look. Look, there's a horse in the studio.
A horse. A horse. Oh, for heaven's sake. Hide me. Jimmy, that's my man, my nightmare.
No use, Eddie.
Why?
There's a man who came here with her, and he's got a gun in his hand.
A gun?
Yeah.
I'm from the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. You're under arrest.
For what? For heaven's sake, for what?
What for? For abusing a poor, dumb animal.
You mean that horse?
No, not the horse. Rubinoff.
Oh, well.
What's cute about a little cutie? It's her beauty, not brain. All father time will never harm you. Your charm still remains after you grow old, baby. You don't have to be a cold baby. Keep young and beautiful. It's your duty to be beautiful. Keep young and beautiful. If you want to be loved, don't fail to do your stuff. With a little powder and a pound. If you wanna be loved, if you're wise, exercise all the fat off. Take it off, off of here, off of there. When you're seen anywhere with your hat off, have a permanent wave in your hair. Take care of all those charms, and you'll always be in someone's arms. Be young and beautiful, if you wanna be loved. Be young and beautiful. It's a duty to be beautiful. Keep young and beautiful. If you want love, yes indeed, you'll drive him half insane in a baby suit of cellophane. Keep young and beautiful. If you wanna be loved. out. In squeezing and using the lipstick, you the kind that will leave any mark. I know it will make both his lipstick when he kisses you in the dark. Get him to hold you tight. Let him get a whiff of Christmas night and he's young and beautiful. If you wanna be
presenting Eddie Cantor as auctioneer.
My friends, here we are at the second day of this tremendous auction. And if any among you think you were cheated yesterday, wait until I get through today.
Eddie, try to get better prices, will you?
Jimmy, it's a pleasure to sell you out at any price. Get away.
Listen, Eddie, sell the painting first.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I have here a rare painting. This is a genuine Whistler. Who'll give $500 for a Whistler?
All right, $500.
All right, I hear $500. Do I hear any more? Going once for $500. Going twice. Sold. A genuine Whistler to a gentleman for $500.
Hey, wait a minute. This is a picture of a canary.
Well, ain't that a Whistler? Get out of here.
Well, why don't a Whistler?
Why didn't say? I suppose if I sold you a picture of a rooster, you'd expect it to lay eggs?
Hey, if I'd pay $500 for a rooster, it would have to lay eggs.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Eddie, sell the piano next, will you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, take a look at this grand piano. The original cost was $2,500. We let it go for $1,000. Who'll take it?
I will.
Who are you?
I'm from the finance company.
And can he take it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, mister, take it away. Jimmy, will you give me something to sell that you really own to have it? Will you do that?
All right, Eddie. Here, sell the silverware.
Okay. Next is lot 27. The finest assortment of silk, sterling silverware you ever saw. What an assortment. Hotel Astor, the Ritz, Waldorf Astoria. Do I hear $100 to start with? Do I hear $75? Make it $60.
I'll give you $15.
Did I hear $15? You got a lot of nerve. $15 for 263 pieces of silverware? It's an insult, an outrage. Don't tell me you really expect to get the set for $15. Why, I never... $15! Sold for $15. Real help.
Hunter?
Yes?
Haven't you seen that bridge table? I'm liking to buy that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my house, people's always coming up to play bridge.
Oh, lady from the South. Well, well. Madam, you certainly know a good article when you see it. Take a good look at this. It's not an ordinary brick table. It's a novelty.
Novelty. So look at that
brick. Are you sure Rubenoff hasn't got a wife? Well, look at it. No, madam. This is a novelty. This table is fixed so that when your opponent gets a good hand and bids a small slam, the legs collapse and the cards fall on the floor. How do you like that?
I'll give a dollar and a half.
Make it 2.5, and I'll throw in this marvelous kibitzer chair. With a nice soft seat, guaranteed to put any kibitzer to sleep in 5 minutes.
No, please, please. I'm just taking the table, and you can hold on to your seat.
All right.
Give it to her, Eddie. Don't waste any time.
It's yours, madam. Take it away.
No, Eddie.
Don't cry, Jimmy.
Oh, Eddie.
What's the matter, Jimmy?
Now you're going to sell my most cherished
possession. What is it?
My life, bro.
Yeah.
I hate to fight you. It's more than anything.
Oh, don't cry. Look, ladies and gentlemen, all first editions. The first edition to ever get into a radio announcer's home. And what authors? First, we have Browning. And on his heels comes Bunyan. Bacon, bound in leather. Nice, crisp bacon. And a complete set of Dickens. Buy the others and get the Dickens for nothing. Imagine, on one shelf alone, Bobby Burns up at Longfellow because he's wittier than Poe. And he says, oh, Henry, you're driving Oscar Wilde. Oh, sure, oh, nuts.
Would you consider $50 for the lot?
Sure, I consider $50. Rotten. Come on. Why, one book alone is worth that. Look at it. A special book entitled, How to Become a Radio Announcer in Two Parts.
Make it three parts and I'll bid 60.
Okay, make it 75 and I'll throw in the Rubenoff of Omar Khayyam.
That's like 75.
Thank you. 75 is bid. And also included in this collection, ladies and gentlemen, are the loves of Casanova. Do I hear 80? Casanova's gloves for $80. Why, any one of his gloves is worth 80.
I'll bid 85.
85 bid. Do I hear 100? Make it 100 and I'll include the life of Walter Winchell. Who'll take the life of Walter Winchell for $100?
I will.
Who are you?
Al Jolson.
Mammy. Yes,
you want to say something? Yes. But when are you going to auction off the antique? I want to get on that mummy over there.
That's no mummy, that's Wallington. Get out of the way.
Never mind now. Auction off this family heirloom, this antique bed, will it?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, take a look at this family treasure, the same identical bed that's been in the Wallington family for a century. Even the linen, real Irish linen. The linen hasn't been changed in 100 years.
Oh, Louie, let's get away from this auction. I'm so tired, I can hardly stand in my...
Beautiful legs, ladies and gentlemen, carved out of solid mahogany.
See, I've asked you a dozen times to take me home. Louie, this makes the 13th time.
Louie, the 14th slept in his bed. What would you give to sleep in Louis' bed?
I wouldn't give a nickel, Louis, after all the options in the world. Besides, I have no money I can't give. What have I to offer?
A beautiful canopy that stretches halfway across the bed. Ladies and gentlemen, this bed has a unique attachment. A music box to lull you to sleep. Just anybody who buys it. For instance, if the servant girl steals a nap, the music box plays... Lazy Bones... Sleeping in the hay, you'll never get the house cleaned up that way. And if an old maid lies down on the bed, she'll hear. Will I ever be a wife? Not a man is in my life. What to do about it? I'll put out the lights and go to bed. And for an old married couple it plays, don't know why, we must argue, you and I, stormy weather, as soon as we both get together, we're fighting all the time.
Hey, Santa.
Yeah.
Hey, will this music box attachment fit on twin beds for married couples?
Sure.
Well, what'll it play?
Blame me. It's better this way, you'll agree. Though you I'm adoring, I can't stand your snoring. Don't blame me.
My little baby to bed. What would the music box play?
Is this your baby? Good. Look, just put it down and you'll hear Alice in Wonderland. Come, let me take your hand. You'll see the wonders past, looking through the looking glass. Right there before your eyes, I'll show you paradise. So let me take your hand, Alice in Wonderland. Look at the mad hatter laughing there, watching the mock turtle fly, while Tweedledee and Tweedledum are fighting. And look! Look at the cat with the old martyr. Oh my, meow, me, oh my. To watch the sleeping dormouse is exciting. Humpty Dumpty's on the wall. Happy Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty had a fall. Poor old Humpty. Here come the king and the queen of hearts. They've given royal command that you may play all day in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland, come let me take your hand. You see the wonders past, looking through the looking glass, right there. Look, baby's asleep. There's a song that could have asleep too. Isn't that sweet? So let me take your hand, Alice in Wonderland.
Crazy costume.
What a pleasure, Jimmy. What a pleasure.
Hey, what's the idea of the diver's helmet and the running trunks and the boots? And the sword.
You mean where we're going, I'll need them. We're going hunting tonight.
Hunting? For what?
For jokes.
Jokes?
Yes. Look, I need them. Listen, how many jokes have I had since I've been on the air?
Oh, I should say about four, all told.
All told. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Four all told. Yeah, that's good. That's right. Now, look, I've had four jokes, and I've used them for 3 years. Remember the one where I say, my brother sent me $50, but I couldn't use the money because it said on the envelope, return in 5 days. You remember that, huh?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, I remember that one and all your other three.
Well, keep quiet about it. Well, look, Jimmy, if I can stay on the air for 3 years with four jokes, can you imagine how long I could keep it up with 50 jokes?
I never thought of that, Eddie. Where are you going to get them?
Listen, I know an apartment around the corner where there's millions of jokes. Now, look, you follow me, Jimmy, and we'll sneak into this place and find...
Oh, wait a minute. You mean sneak into somebody's home? What if the police catch us?
It's all right, Jimmy. We'll tell them we just did it for jokes. You see? Now, wait a minute. Now, Jimmy.
Yeah?
Be quiet.
I don't like this, Eddie. I don't like it at all.
Why?
Suppose the police have come.
Oh, be nonchalant. Say, police to meet you, see? Look. Jimmy, there's more light. Look. Oh, look at all those books. Millions and millions of them. And look, Jimmy, they're all classified, too.
Yeah, look. Look, the Italian jokes in the Mussolini's department.
Uh-huh.
There's some Scotch jokes, too.
Yeah, they're so tight they won't even give the answer. And look, Jimmy. Look at these books. Books of nudist colony jokes without any covers. Did you see up there?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, Eddie.
Huh?
And look, right next to him, a whole shelf full of hospital jokes.
Yeah, without any appendix. Look, and look.
And look at the way they're arranged, too, Eddie.
Yeah.
Why, he's got Russian jokes next to herrings. And Chinese next to laundry. Look at
that. Yeah, and Corrigale's next to millionaires. And Scotch next to ginger ale. And original jokes next to impossible. Look at that, Jimmy.
That's right.
Look who's coming. Look where. Look who's coming here. Oh,
Graham. Come on in. The program's going to be different tonight, Graham. Oh, yes.
Eddie. You know who that is, Eddie?
Yes.
Why, can you beat it?
Yes. What are you doing here?
Well, Steve, we wanted to surprise you, see?
Well, this is a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie,
yes.
I've just been out with Graham.
Yeah?
You know, Eddie, he's the laziest man in the world.
The laziest man in the world?
Yeah. You know, he's so lazy that he doesn't even bother to make coffee.
No?
He just puts coffee grounds in his mustache and drink hot water.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, he killed me.
So,
yes?
If you excuse me, and I'll clean up the place a bit.
Yeah?
I'll put my little pet rabbit in the other room.
Chief, you don't mean to say that you keep a rabbit in the house?
Sure, Eddie. I can't let him out.
Why?
This is an ingrown hair.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Gee, that's true,
Eddie. Yes.
Isn't that ridiculous? Eddie?
I'll say so.
Eddie, do you remember the rabbit I sold you for $1?
Sure, Chief, I remember. Now you can have all 20 of them back for the same price.
Thank you.
Come on, Eddie. Come on, let's get out of here.
Yes?
Oh, that's all right. You can go. I'll sit to my horse, Eddie.
Very good.
Jimmy, for goodness sake, be quiet. Be quiet, Jimmy. We're going to get some jokes in this place. Wait a minute. Look out for that lamp. It's going to fall.
Oh, it's you there, Sally?
No, I'm not here, Baron.
No, I'm having a nightmare.
I'm sorry, Eddie. I'm awfully sorry I woke him up.
Eddie Cantor, what are you doing here?
Well, Baron, to avoid further procrastination and due to imperative necessity for immediate hilarious witticism, to provoke the generation's laughter and to tickle the risibilities of the populace, we have entered your domicile.
They're off.
Listen, Baron.
Yeah.
Listen, Eddie's got a swell joke he's going to trade with you.
Yes, you see, my brother sent me $50, but I couldn't use it because...
On the envelope, it said return in 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that one.
Well, I can see we read the same joke book, huh?
Please, I never read joke books.
You don't?
I make up my own.
No.
All you got to do is put yourself in the proper frame of mind and poof, a joke comes to you.
No kidding?
No, sure, what?
Moo.
I got it.
You have a joke about a cow?
Of course. You see, it's during the war.
Yep.
My cousin Hugo.
Oh, your cousin Hugo, yes.
Now, he didn't go. He stayed home and worked on the farm instead.
Yes.
Well, one day while he was milking a cow,
what happened?
A soldier come along and said, "You slacker, why aren't you at the farm?"
Yes, and what did Hugo say?
My cousin Hugo.
What did he say?
He said, "Because there ain't any milk at that end." You see? I made up that joke myself.
Oh, you must be older than you look.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why don't you try it, Eddie?
I think I will. You just make a sound and it comes out all right.
Yeah.
See, Jimmy, it works. I've got one.
See, what did I tell you? You got a joke about a chicken, huh?
No. I got one about a husband who talks in his sleep.
You make a noise like a chicken, or you get a joke about a husband but talks in his sleep?
Yes, you see, this husband is so hen-pecked that he cackles in his sleep.
Eddie.
Yep.
Let's not sneak in any more houses.
No. I guess you're right, Jimmy. This time we'll be on the level. We'll knock on the door and go right in. And then, when they're not looking, maybe we can steal something.
Eddie, it's Gracie Allen.
Come in. Oh, Mr. Gilson, I recognize you anywhere. Well, I want to tell you, I certainly enjoyed your Wi-Fi item up to the 42nd Street.
What are you talking about? My Wi-Fi item 40? Panther is the name. I came to ask you about some jokes.
Well, I'm getting. But when you get to go ask me riddles instead, I'm better at riddles. Don't you think so, George?
Yes, Gracie, I think so.
Well, what Mr. Catter means is, you see, he only has four jokes. Now, look. His brother sent him $50, but he couldn't use it.
Yeah, well, for goodness sake, I could have used $50 to pay for my appendicitis operation.
Gracie, the man telling a joke.
Yeah, well, if you think it's a joke, you have your appendix.
Miss Allen, you seem to be laboring under a misapprehension. In the vernacular of the hoi polloi, you're absolutely non-compass mentis.
Oh, Mr. Weissman, you make it so hard for me to say no.
What is that? Well, boys, it was nice of you to call. What can we do for you?
Nothing, George. We just remembered an important engagement in a place where you couldn't possibly hear Gracie Allen.
Well, wait a minute. I'll get my hat and coat and go with you.
All right.
Well, Eddie, so far the evening's been a dismal failure. We didn't even get one joke to add to your four.
You think so, Jimmy? Look.
Where did you get all those books?
I stole this one at Burns and Allen's house, and I stole this one at Pearl's, and I put them under my coat when they weren't looking, see?
Well, let's see what's in them, eh?
Here.
Gosh, this one's absolutely empty.
It must be Gracie Allen's diary. Never mind. Here's some of this book, Jimmy.
Doesn't look as if there are very many, Eddie.
Yes, but even a few will help. Oh, Jimmy.
What?
Water. Jimmy.
What's the matter?
Jimmy, I'm fainting.
Eddie, what's the matter with you?
Look.
Speak to me.
Read this funny joke. My brother sent me $50, but I couldn't. Jimmy, I stole the same four jokes I've been using for years. Oh.
There's Daddy and Mammy. Why, there's Ephraim and Sammy. On a moonlight night, you can find them all. While they are waiting, the banjos are syncopating. What's that they're saying? What's that they're saying? While they keep playing, are humming and swaying. It's a good ship, the Robert E. Lee, that comes to carry the cotton away. Watch them shuffling along. See them shuffling along. Go take your best gal, your real pal. Go down to the levee, I said to the levee, and join that shuffling throng. Hear that music and song, it's simply great, mate. Waiting on the levee, waiting for the Robert E. Lee. I said, watch them shuffling along. Hit you. See them shuffling along. I want to take your best down. I said, your real pal. But down to the levee, I said to the levee, and join that shuffling throng. Go on and listen to him. Hear that music and song. It's simply great, great, mate, waiting on. on the levee, waiting for the robber to leave.
And here's my nomination for the most popular song of the week. Annie doesn't live here anymore. You must be the one she waited for. She said that I would know you by the blue in your eyes. Checked it through the fancy vest and polka dot tie. You answered to that description, so I guess that you're the guy. Well, Annie doesn't live here anymore. Annie doesn't live here anymore. It's too bad you didn't call before. She just bought a gown that ties with ribbons above. Brand new shoes, a pretty hat, and latest style gloves. She really looks so alluring and just waiting for your love. But Annie doesn't live here anymore. It was spring. There was romance in the air and everything. Seemed for loving hearts to share, and there was she, just as lonely and as blue as she could be. That's the reason Annie doesn't live here anymore. Might have been your picture that she called. She was though so faithful, what a pitiful sight. She waited for the letter that you promised to write. A gentleman with a top hat called around the other night, Annie doesn't live here anymore. Annie doesn't live here anymore. Never saw her act that way before. There's so much to say, I don't know where to begin. Night and day she wondered just where you could have been. She told me in case you called that I should let you come right in. But Annie doesn't live here anymore. Annie doesn't live here anymore. I just found a letter in the drawer. It was meant for you with love and kisses from her. There were little secrets that she tried to infer. I'll gladly give you the letter if it makes you happy, sir. But Annie doesn't live here anymore. Week by week, we would sit alone and wouldn't even speak. And her telephone kept ringing constantly. Till at last she realized she should be free. That's the reason Annie doesn't live here anymore. Many times I heard her pace the floor. Then one night she dressed herself with elegant air. New fur coat and stockings with those cute little squares. She sprinkled herself with perfume, then she started down the stairs. She could go to the post office and they give you her forwarding address, but Annie does not live here anymore.
What on earth are you doing in that nightgown?
Well, Jimmy, didn't you know I've been elected judge in the 97th District Court? Come on, I'm late. I must get there.
Of course I know you were made judge, but why the nightgown?
This is a night court. Come on, will you?
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are taking you to the courtroom where Judge Cantor presides.
Odor in the court. Odor in the court.
What is this? The judge comes in and he says, odor in the court? What kind of a thing is that? Call the first case.
Case of the People versus Jack Emmerich.
Jack? You are accused of entering the Bazola piano store and stealing a piano. What have you to say?
Your Honor, I did it in a moment of weakness.
You stole a piano in a moment of weakness? I suppose if you'd have been feeling strong, you'd have stolen the post office. 10 years.
Next. Holy smoke.
Oh, it's you boys, eh? Well, Smith, Mercy, Levy, and Nicasio, you have been charged with robbing a bank. I sentence you to 20 years each.
But we're innocent.
Yes, we're innocent.
Quiet, quiet.
And as for you, Machine Gun Pete, you were arrested at the same time, but demanded a separate trial. What have you to say for yourself?
I'm guilty. So what?
Okay, you're discharged.
Wait a minute, Your Honor.
Just a minute. What's the matter?
Listen, you sent us four who are innocent to jail. He pleads guilty and you discharge him. Why is that?
That's for your own protection. Why should I put a confessed criminal in jail with four honest men? Next case, come on.
James Harrison, charged with attempted suicide.
Are you James Harrison?
Yes, Your Honor.
Harrison, you look like a pretty intelligent person. Now tell me, what made you try to do away with yourself?
Your Honor, I'm a rank failure. I'm 46 years old, have a wife and three children, been out of work for almost 2 years. I'm no good to myself, no good to my family. Isn't that reason enough?
No, my friend, that's not reason
enough. It isn't, man. Well, I've been coming home day after day, tired, worn out from the constant search for a chance to make a living, ashamed to face my family.
Well, what do they say?
That's it. Nothing. Not a word. That look in their eyes. I can't stand it. I'm 46 years old. I'm through.
46 years old and you're through? Don't say that. Suppose I was to tell you about a man who was born in a log cabin in the woods and who, while still a youngster, lost not only his mother and father, but his brothers as well. Alone in the world, his one possession was the thing necessary for success. The will to hold on, keep going. At the age of 45, he went to war and achieved a brilliant record as a soldier. Later in life, though handicapped by poor health, at the age of 62, not 46, Harrison, but at 62, Andrew Jackson became the president of the United States.
Yes, but he was a soldier.
And so are you. You're fighting the battle of life. Don't surrender. Look, Harrison, Henry Ford was broke at the age of 40. Did he show the white flag? No. In 1903, he borrowed the sum of $1,000 from a man named James Carter. ...to war and achieved a brilliant record as a soldier. Later in life, though handicapped by poor health, at the age of 62, not 46, Harrison, but at 62, Andrew Jackson became the president of the United States.
Yes, but he was a soldier.
And so are you. You're fighting the battle of life. Don't surrender. Look, Harrison, Henry Ford was broke at the age of 40. Did he show the white flag? No. In 1903, he borrowed the sum of $1,000 from a man named James Cousins. Later, for that $1,000 investment, Mr. Cousins received $39 million. So you can imagine what Mr. Ford made. You say you're through at 46? Why, Verdi composed Aida at 58. Wagner finished his great opera Parsifal at 69. Listen, Harrison. I knew an actor who played one-night stands, traveling from town to town, year in, year out, hoping, fighting, but he didn't give up. He kept struggling. And at the age of 54, he saw his name in electric lights on Broadway, Frank Bacon and Lightning. You see, Harrison, the difference between failure and success is just holding on a little longer.
You may be right.
Of course I'm right. Taking your life. What a legacy to leave your wife and children. Being a failure is not a crime, but being a coward. Don't let them remember you for that, Harrison. Leave me your address. I'll get you a job somewhere.
No, thanks. You've given me more than a job. Why, you've taken 10 years off my age. I'm not 46, not right now. I'll get a job. They can't lick me. And I'll never forget you, sir. God bless you.
Goodbye. Good luck, Harrison. Court adjourned.
I lost your family this hour with you. As friend to friend, I'm sorry it's true. I'm telling you just how I feel. I hope you feel that way too. Let's make a date for next Sunday night. I'm here to say will be my delight to sing again, bring again the things you want me to. I love to spend this power with you.
another gala Jason Sanborn Coffee Hour, directed by Rubinoff and starring Eddie Cantor. The makers of Jason Sanborn's Dated Coffee were, of course, among the first to sign the president's re-employment agreement. James Wallington speaking. Good night.
Broadcasting Company.